Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma for me, and the big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. My blood pressure was out of control. My sugar was out of control. Waste of time. So I went an alternative route. I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR with very good results. Now, these products, accompanied with self-control of your diet and plenty of exercise, which is the key, well, my blood pressure is down in the normal range. My weight is way down, which brings my blood sugar level way down. And all in all, I feel pretty doggone good. So, if you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Tell Patrick what's going on with your health, and he can help you out. Thank you for listening, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Live, live, hip, two, three, four, hip, two, three, four, lift, hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, two, three, four, hip. Hip, two, three, four, hip.
All right, you soldiers of Yahweh, this is your wake-up call. I'm Pastor Steve, and the title of this sermon today is A Stone of Stumbling. A Stone of Stumbling. I have been in dire straits asking the Father to give me a sermon. I had sort of run dry on my own. I can't just speak whatever I want to speak. I have to speak what He has for me, because it's not going to be any good unless it's from Him. And I'm sitting here in the wee hours of the morning, and He had me open my copy of the Scriptures, and by golly, it opened to Romans chapter 9. And it just leaped out at me. It's amazing. The Father is amazing. I'm going to read from the Scriptures. You can read from your King James or whatever version you have, and follow along with me. I'm going to read all of Romans chapter 9, and then do highlights as I read. I'll give you what I have to say during the reading here. So let's get started. This is Romans chapter 9. I speak the truth in Messiah. I do not lie. my conscience also bearing me witness in the set apart spirit. There's a key right there. In the set apart spirit. Because that's where this comes from. That's how Yahweh delivers his messages when he speaks to us. Through the set apart spirit. You can't see it, but you can feel it. Because it'll be subtle sometimes and overpowering at other times. Verse 2. That I have great sadness and continual grief in my heart. I'm in that condition right now. I have great sadness and grief in my heart. And I'll tell you why as we go through this. Verse 3. For I myself could have wished to be banished from Messiah for the sake of my brothers, my relatives, according to the flesh. According to the flesh, okay? Physical flesh. Verse 4. Who are the children of Israel, to whom is the adoption and the esteem and the covenants and the giving of the Torah and the worship and the promises. Verse 5. Whose are the fathers, and from whom is the Messiah according to the flesh, who is over all, is over all, okay? Elohim blessed forever, amen. Is over all. In other words, Yeshua, Messiah, has authority. Authority. Verse 6. However, it is not as though the word of Elohim has failed, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. In other words, there are brethren of the Israelite bloodline that fall away. They go the opposite direction. They show fruit for a while and then go back into the world and follow the world and don't want to obey the stipulations of the covenant. I'll talk about the new covenant, the covenant of Yeshua. They're gonna follow the way of the flesh. Instead of the rules set down by Yeshua Messiah, who has authority over all, as it says in verse 5. Verse 7. Neither are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Yitzchak your seed shall be called. And he explains in verse 8 here. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of Elohim, but the children of the promise are reckoned as the seed. The Israelites that follow the flesh, even though they are of Israel, they're following the flesh instead of the commands and teachings of Yeshua Messiah. They're in rebellion, and they have separated themselves by their behavior from Elohim. A covenant is a covenant, okay? This is the new covenant with Yeshua HaMashiach, who bailed us out and covered over our sins with his blood that he shed for us. But there are rules to that covenant. And if you want to be under that covenant and you proclaim that you want to be under it and you recognize him, you have to go by the rules of the covenant. You cannot stay according to the flesh and just keep on living your life like you lived it before you came to know Yeshua Messiah. And there are those that will proclaim Yeshua Messiah, but will live according to the flesh. They haven't given themselves over to actually be obedient to what he taught us. Therefore, they are children of the flesh, not the children of Elohim, because they don't want to come under the rules of the covenant. There's a line there that you have to cross and commit. You have to make personal commitment. And at times in this world, it is rough. All right, here we go. Verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time I shall come, and Sarah shall have a son. Verse 10. And not only so, but Rebekah having conceived by one, our father Yitzchak. Verse 11, yet before they were born or had done any good or evil, in order that the purpose of Elohim, according to choice, understand that, according to choice. If you have a highlighter, highlight that. Might stand, not the works, not of works, pardon me, but of him who calls. Verse 12. It was said to her, the greater shall serve the lesser. Verse 13. As it has been written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. That was one of the Israelites. Esau went the opposite way. He went in rebellion to Yahweh. He didn't want to obey Yahweh's rules, and he married those Hittite women, the cursed seed, and eventually Edom, which is of Esau, mingled, and the seed of Cain, the accursed one from the devil, mingled in with his seed, and the Edomites today are the progeny of the enemy. They got not only the seed of the devil, but the seed of a rebellious Israelite, Esau, who went the evil route. Followed the root of evil instead of the root. He went to the left instead of the right. Okay. Verse 14. What then shall we say? Is there unrighteousness with Elohim? Let it not be. No, Elohim gave us a set of rules to live by. This whole scripture, with no separation, the so-called Old Testament, the so-called Apocrypha, the so-called New Testament, it's all one testament. It's a rule book on how to live. To give specific instructions on how to, and it gives specific instructions as what we should not do. We may not do certain things. We are told this, and it's all part of the covenant. It is the covenant book, the whole thing, is the rule book for the covenant and for the covenant people only. We, Israel, are to follow the instructions in this manuscript. Now, here's verse 15. Pay attention here. This clarifies things. For he says to Moshe, that's Yahweh saying this to Moshe, I shall favor whomever I favor, and I shall have compassion on whomever I have compassion. He chooses. Not us. He chooses. Verse 16 clarifies that as well. So then, it is not of him who is wishing, nor of him who is running the race of life, but of Elohim who shows favor. Verse 17, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this same purpose I have raised you up to show my power in you, and that my name be declared in all the land. Okay, that's Exodus 9:16 and 3 Maccabees 2:6. And here we go, verse 18. Verse 18 of chapter 9 of Romans. So then, he favors whom he wishes, and he hardens whom he wishes. Some people he doesn't want, or some people he's going to use as an example, whether a good example or a bad example. And we see many Israelites out here today that have gone to the quote-unquote dark side that he's using as bad examples. Verse 19. Then you shall say to me, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his counsel? Verse 20. And we hear this from people that are in rebellion. Verse 20. But who are you, O man, to talk back to Elohim? Oh no, I don't like that particular rule. I'm not going to obey that one. It's a package. Take the whole package or none of it. Continuing on in verse 20, shall that which is formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Verse 21, does not the potter have authority over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for value and another not for value? Some people are part of the remnant, some people are not. He's not calling them. They're going by the wayside, and a lot of it has to do with their personal choice. They make a decision to go back to rebelliousness. Verse 22. And if Elohim, desiring to show wrath and to make his power known with much patience, tolerated the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. He tolerated the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. Okay, how did this occur? Verse 23, pay close attention here. And that he might make known the riches of his esteem on vessels of compassion. Vessels of compassion, which he had prepared beforehand for esteem. Verse 24, even whom he called, not only us of the Yahudim, that's the Judahites, but also of the nations, that's the Israel nations in dispersion, okay? He's not talking about all the nations, the pagan nations, the non-white nations. He's not talking about that. This is Israel nations only. This is to Israel only. Verse 25, as he says in Hosea 2, I shall call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. Verse 26, and it shall be in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living Elohim. Those of us in the past that came back and repented, and Yahweh forgave them and brought them back under his loving protection. And others that did not repent and did not come back are not under that protection. And that applies today. Today. Verse 27. And Yeshayahu, that's Isaiah, cries out on behalf of Israel, though the numbers of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant shall be saved. Not all, just a called out remnant. Just a called out remnant. The others aren't going to make it. Even though they are of Israel, they're in rebellion still, and they're not going to make it. And that is why I have the symptoms of verse 2 of chapter 9, that I have great sadness and continued grief in my heart. I have grief for those and sadness for those that have rebellion in their heart and cut themselves off. Verse 28, for he is bringing a matter to an end, and is cutting it short in righteousness, because Yahweh shall cut short a matter on the earth. That's Isaiah chapter 10, verse 23, okay? Verse 29, and as Yeshayahu, that's again Isaiah, said before, if Yahweh of hosts had not left us a seed, that's the remnant, a seed line, that was faithful, we would have become like Sedom, that's Sodom, and we would have been made like Amorah, that's Gomorrah. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have been destroyed. Verse 30, what shall we say then? That nations not following after righteousness have obtained righteousness, even the righteousness of belief? Verse 31, but Israel, following after the Torah of righteousness, has not arrived at the Torah of righteousness. Verse 32. Here we go. Verse 32 and 33 are the key verses here. Why? Because it was not a belief, but as by works of Torah. for they stumbled at the stone of stumbling, capital S for stone, the stone of stumbling. That's the rule structure of Yahweh, the rules, okay? Verse 33, as it has been written, see, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock that makes for falling, and everyone who is believing on him shall not be put to shame. And he is speaking of Yeshua Messiah. A stone of stumbling and a rock that makes for falling. And he who is believing on him shall not be put to shame. Well, believing. True belief requires action on the part of the believer. That ends chapter 9 of the book of Romans. The stone of stumbling and a rock that makes for falling. Well, what did Yeshua do while he was here with us? He taught us. And what did he teach us? There was some confusion on the part of some of our people as to the rules. The fine point of the rules, or the broad brush of the rules. And Yeshua spent his ministry here among us explaining in detail these rules. He gave us specific instructions what to do and how to do it and what not to do and how not to live. Don't do this and do that. Now, this is part of what we call the New Covenant. He taught the rules that were in the quote-unquote Old Covenant and further explained them for our benefit. Because a lot of our people were living in error and didn't quite understand, and they were doing practices, etc., etc., that were wrong because they didn't fully understand the rules. Well, he came and he further explained the rules. And he made this quote-unquote new covenant available to Israel. But the same as the old covenant, quote-unquote, there are rules and a rule structure connected with that covenant. This is what you do. You want to be in the, under the covenant. It's like joining some type of a club. Let's put it in earthly terms here. You want to be part of this a particular organization here. secular organization. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, it can be anything. If you let the people that run that organization know that you want to be part, a lot of times you will have to go through a probation period. And then there are rules once you join and you're a full-fledged member. You will be expected to conduct yourself in a prescribed manner. You will have to obey the rules. This is what you will do, and this is what you will not do. And if you do the rules and you obey the rules, you are a member in good standing. And if you do not and you break the rules and you rebel against the structure that has been set up for that particular organization, they will boot you out. Well, same here, okay? Same concept. You want to be part of the new covenant. You want to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. Okay. That's good. You believe what Yeshua says. And you want to enter into this covenant relationship. And this particular covenant relationship results in your sins being lifted from up upon you. Your past sins are forgiven. Right? You want this forgiveness. Well, to have this, there are certain things that you must do. You don't earn it. The price is paid by Yeshua. But once you say you want to be part of this covenant, there's a rule structure that you must follow to remain in the covenant. This concept that the Judeo-Christian churches have today of once saved, always saved is false. Let me get a drink of coffee here. Oh, I needed to wet my whistle. You can walk away from it. The parable about the seeds that fall on fertile ground and sprout up and take deep root and flourish. And then there are seeds that fall on infertile soil and rocky soil, and they'll spring up for a while, but then they wither. Well, here lately, I've been seeing some withering. Actually, I've seen it for a long time. Different people have withered, and they've gone back on the rules of the covenant, and they have gone into rebellion for various reasons. There's a section in scripture that says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That aptly describes what's going on with people, okay? People of Israel, we're subject to the same temptations. We're in the world, and right now in these vessels we occupy, we are subject to the temptation of the world. This is our testing period, the testing ground. Some people pass the test, some people do not pass the test. He gives us every opportunity and lots of help to make it through this trial period. But there are people that find that the rules and the teachings set down by Yeshua, Messiah, have become a stone of stumbling and a rock that makes for falling, because it interferes with their personal lifestyle. They don't want to give up the earthly stuff. They like their little temptations, and there are things that they like to do that go against Yahweh's rule structure. And that's what it is. It's a rule structure for this covenant. They want to say they're part of the club, but they don't want to follow the club rules. They want to do what they want to do, and they have become renegades again. And they have walked away from their membership in this club. And that's a secular explanation. It's not all grandiose and all, you know, calling salvation a club. Well, it's a lot grander than that, but I'm trying to simplify it to make it more easily understood. I don't need to be all highfalutin and have all this flowery stuff. You get the gist of what I'm saying. All through history, we have seen how people that purport to be quote-unquote Christians, followers of the Messiah, have come up on these stones of stumbling and fallen flat on their face, because they want to live their lifestyle in this world. But they want the benefits offered by eternal life and the kingdom of Yahweh. But they don't want to follow the rules. It's an either or thing. You have to do the very best you can in this life to follow these rules if you want to be part of this covenant. And it's just too tough for some people. They're too caught up in the world and their earthly life and their passions of their body . Some of them just sort of slip away quietly. Others turn 180 degrees and start following other doctrines and rail against the system. They become active protesters and rebels and go the other route, because they want to live the way they want to live, and they don't want to follow the stipulations for membership in this covenant. I'm seeing that lately. We are under all these pressures. We've got all these things happening in this plane of existence called earthly life. We've got all this strife, we've got all this trouble, we've got all this violence, we have all these temptations, we have economic pressures now where people are losing their jobs, businesses are shutting down. There's supposed to be such a good economy, and there's supposed to be good jobs, but as you go down the street, if you're in any city, How many homeless people that are just walking around, as they say, with tombstones in their eyes, just wandering aimlessly, living in homeless shelters or living under a bridge? And if you have any age on you at all, you did not see this when you were growing up. I know I didn't. But things have gone downhill, not just in this country, but worldwide, with open rebellion against Yahweh, and these are punishments. And he is culling the herd. He is separating the sheep from the goats. And the numbers of his sheep are less and less. We only see certain people that are following the word. This whole volume of text, beginning to end, okay? These scriptures, as we call them. And so many others, even those that profess to believe, are falling down on these stones of stumbling. The rules set down in this covenant are the stones of stumbling. And a lot of people are very enthusiastic when they first hear the word and they want to be part of this. But they are still in the world, and they still like the things of the world, so they will take what is called the middle ground, which is being lukewarm, and it will be known, I guess, as the Judeo-Christian root. Oh, I love Jesus. Yet they won't follow his rules. It's a lip service only deal. It lets them have these pleasures of life while putting on the false appearance of being sanctified. This is the great deception that is in the world today, and it is run by the adversary and his minions, his children. These churches and the false doctrines that they are putting forth are deceiving many and will be the destruction of many, because these churches teach things that are prohibited in this How to Live book. They pick and choose. Oh, we like these. And if we spout this and we preach on this, it'll sound like we're righteous. But this other stuff that he has laid down for us, we really don't like that. We don't agree with that. So we're not going to teach that. We're going to let that go. They're not following the rules of the club. The stones of stumbling have got in their way and blocked their path, and they can only go so far. Well, they're only going halfway. And that is called being lukewarm. You believe, sort of, but you really don't want to commit. You want to keep one foot in the kingdom of heaven and one foot in the world. And what did Yeshua said? I would that you were hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out. And how many people are going to be spewed out? And again, we go back to verse 2 of chapter 9. That I have great sadness and continual grief in my heart. Because I've been called out to do this stuff. And many times it's not fun. I get a lot of flack over what I do. I get a real hard time from some people. Some people in my own camp. Other Israelites. I make it uncomfortable sometimes. Well, that's not me. That's Yahweh. I mean, I was waiting for what to say. I asked the Father, give me something to preach. I don't want to just do a sermon from my own heart. I want you to show me what you once said. I'm yours. Use me. Well, he has. All I can do as a preacher is exhort to righteousness. The decision rests with people that are hearing the message. If you want to go by the rule book, then go by the rule book. And if you're not going to go by the rule book, I can't do any good for you. I can't make you an obedient servant. I can't make you give up sin. Okay, sin. Let's just call it what it is. Rebelliousness against Yahweh and disobedience is sin. And I have enough in my life that I really need to watch myself and be very careful how I behave. Because if I behave in the same manner as people that are unbelievers, I dishonor the Father. And do him a disservice. And that really would grieve me. I mean, just, I have been so blessed. And so many others have been blessed. And I've seen it. And I am so amazed at his workings. And I don't dare dishonor him. I just don't. The word fear in the Bible many times means to hold in reverence or to hold in awe. There are different words that they use, and they translate them all as fear. You fear Yahweh. Well, I'm not afraid that he's going to zap me with a bolt of lightning. I hold him in awe, and I hold him in reverence. I love him, and he loves me. And he loves all his children. But he is also of justice and righteousness. He cannot be unjust and he cannot be unrighteous. And there are people that he will deal with and people that he will cast out. And a great deal of that has to do with the heart of the person that he is dealing with, whether you are true or whether you are fake. You have a race to run, as it says in here. It's a race. It's something that we have to run in this world, and we have to run until our race is ended. And that ends at our leaving the current temple that we're in. I'm still in mine, so I'm still running the race. I'm one of those, I truly believe, that is the vessel of compassion which he had prepared beforehand for esteem in verse 23 of chapter 9. Lately, I have seen the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction also. They leave the sheepfold and go back living among the goats. We are watching and we are witnesses to the panic and disruption and dismay of the children of the adversary. We are watching this whole scenario play itself out. The big war has not hit yet, but it's going on in small ways now. The battle of the end actually is upon us, okay? It's here. It's here now. It's being played out now. It's being fought now. The violence is increasing gradually. We are watching it worldwide. We are watching it here in the United States. We are watching the news that tells what's going on in Europe, in France, Germany, England with the illegal migrants, the non-whites that are raping and killing, the animosity that is now against them by the Israelite people that have had enough and are saying, go home, leave us. You're a detriment to our society. You're a destructive force. Get out. That sentiment is building. It says in Scripture that the earth will open up and swallow them. That to me means there's going to be violence and fighting, and there's going to be a lot of death, and they're going to have to dispose and bury these bodies. It all tells of the great battle. It's a battle of words and ideas. That's going on too, and it will be a physical battle with physical confrontations, physical violence, and loss of life. We're seeing more of that, and it is always initiated by the children of the adversary and the servants of the adversary. We are seeing satanic practices out in the open. These people are openly satanic. Devil worship right out in the open. Blatant. I never saw anything like that growing up. Oh, I'm sure it went on. It's been going on for a long time. But you didn't see it. Open pedophilia, especially in the Romish church. Exposés all the time, constantly, over and over and over. High-ranking people. I'm not talking about just a parish priest. I'm talking about bishops and cardinals. They have a Jewish pope. A Jew. So called the leader of Christendom. Oh, please. I'm at a loss for words many, many times. I appear on many shows. I do a lot of shows with Eli and Andy Hitchcock, and we have a lot of presenters that present shows on EFR on varying subjects. All of it has to do with exposing the workings of the children of the adversary. all I can do as a man, still in a flesh body, an older man. I'm an old man, but I'm in great shape. I'm getting very, very healthy. Praise Yahweh. He is doing this for me. Is exhort to righteousness. All I can do is to try to reach the remnant. That's it. That's all I can do. I can try to reach the remnant and convince them to be on the straight and narrow path. I can do no more. I have limited facilities at my disposal in this flesh temple that I am in, where my spirit lives right now. We have to stay in prayer. Prayer is heard if it is fervent and sincere. Yahweh listens to his people. Need to pray without ceasing. That's all I can do. There's a limited scope to the messages that I can bring. Pardon me. I have to cover the same topics over and over and over, because if you're preaching to the choir and the people already know it, it doesn't have the impact that it does to somebody that's a first-time listener or somebody new that's sort of straddling the fence. It's the fence sitters that I'm trying to reach. The ones that are solidly and firmly in the remnant are helping in this. A lot of people that are in the remnant are participating and witnessing and doing what they're supposed to do. Yahweh's already got them. He's called them. They're his. But there are those that he is calling, and he is using these presenters, myself included, and others that preach the word. He's calling them through these presenters. That's his methodology. He uses us to call. These messages are not for everyone. They're only for specific people. He engineers that, you know. I may be boring somebody to death, but somebody else out there is listening intently because the Holy Spirit is working in that individual and he is hearing what I have to say. And I am very, very grateful that Yahweh has chosen me and is allowing me to be one of his presenters. That's all I can say. Well, I'm about down to the end here. I will catch you on the next wake-up call, whether it's a new one or pre-recorded. Depends on what Yahweh wants me to do. May want me to play one of my other messages again because somebody needs to hear that particular message. He's in charge. That's all I can say. So until the next time, may Yahweh bless and keep you, and stay strong. Run your race.
Left, left, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip, 2, 3, 4, lift, hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, he's our king.
We love Yahweh, he's our king.
To his glory we now sing.
To his glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip,